Welcome to the Sales Wealth Developer Podcast. My name is René Winkelmeyer, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Sales Wealth Developer advocates who are going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and everything actually you have to know these days as a Sales Wealth Developer. In this episode, we're going to talk about the Summer 24 release, and my guest today is Mohit Srivastava.
Hi, René.
Hi, Mo. Great to have you back on the podcast and also talk about one of the most exciting things that are happening in summer, which is the summer release. I know it's action-packed, so maybe you want to tell our listeners some of the key themes that they will learn about in this podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you again, René, for having me. Summer 24, again, is a packed release. There's a lot of innovations that are happening here at Salesforce. The ones that I think I'm so excited to talk about today would be, you know, innovations that we are bringing to Salesforce Data Cloud, also to our Einstein 1 platform, including the enhancements to Einstein 1 Studio, which, you know, includes Prompt Builder, Copilot Builder, and Model Builder. And then, of course, we are also making a lot of cool additions to our platform, including Apex enhancements, LWCs that I know our developers love and use for building user interfaces, and of course, APIs and developer experience.
Seems we will have an exciting podcast. So let's start maybe with Data Cloud. And when I skimmed through the release notes, there was like a ton that really improved the developer experience with this release. What would you like to share with the audience about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So Data Cloud, I think, is quickly becoming one of those products which is getting a lot of improvement in terms of developer experience. Those of you who are not familiar with Data Cloud is what brings, you know, data integrations and harmonization capabilities to the Salesforce platform. So, you know, think about working on a large data volume project where you want to unify this data, you know, unlock it through automation or through all the generative AI capabilities that we are giving, Data Cloud is the one to go. So previously, René, you know, one of the things was like for Apex developers, when they had to work with this Data Cloud, the APIs, I would say the APIs and the classes that we used to give them had like, you know, a lot of gaps in terms of their actual developer experience they were used to when working with other objects, right? So one of the features that we have added now is support for static SQL for Data Cloud data model objects, that is DMOs within Data Cloud. So what this allows developers to do is treat those Data Cloud data model objects just like any other objects in Salesforce. So just like your accounts and contacts, right? The way you write SQL, you're going to use the same SQL syntax now to write within Apex for data model objects. Is it not cool?
That sounds really cool. That also means you don't have to use a CDP query connect class any longer starting the summer, correct?
That is correct. So the CDP query class, right? If you're used to using that, you had to like handcraft your SQL and it's sort of dynamic SQL. So there's no static compilation built into it. So it was a little more of a lot of, I would say, a hassle for developers because you have to like hard code these, create strings out of your SQL, then validate that the SQL works, and then put that string into your code, right? So you can see that there was a lot more effort in terms of developers, you know, trying to use this. Now with this static SQL support, it's so easy. All you need to do is just know the object names and the field names, create that SQL, put it within your Apex class, and the compiler automatically sort of statically analyzes it. So as soon as you type, you know if there are any issues with your SQL. So I think that's a great developer experience.
Awesome. Now, talking about great developer experience, I think one thing that was also added for developers build Apex that integrate with Data Cloud is actually mocking SQL queries for the DMOs.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for all the Data Cloud developers, especially Apex developers using Data Cloud, because I wish we had this functionality, you know, sort of even within our platform. But I think Data Cloud developers get this to use it right first. I mean, they are the first to use this feature. So with this feature, basically, you can mock those SQL. So I was talking about SQL support, right? So now you can mock these SQL. So this makes it very easy to write your test classes without you having to actually execute this SQL in the text context. So I think that's a great feature. Earlier, you know, developers using this CDP query class, they had to come up with their own It was a lot of effort to actually mock these SOCLs. Now there's native support. So this is a great developer experience enhancement that is coming for all the developers.
Are there any additional data cloud enhancements you would like to highlight? I know the list is really long, but maybe what are the next two or three top items that you think everyone should pay attention to this release?
Absolutely. So the thing about data cloud that I'm liking is it's getting the metadata support. And it is now the experience for data cloud developer is getting consistent with the developer experience they are used on the platform. So some of the features that I would like to highlight, there is 2GP packaging support. This is great if you're an ISV. So you can, now you have metadata types for different data cloud metadata types. So you should be able to package them, distribute them. So that's a great support. Also, I would say we are getting closer, or we are basically architecting Data Cloud so that it can seamlessly integrate into the Salesforce core platform. So Data Cloud enrichment is one way where you can like really relate Data Cloud objects with Salesforce core objects through related lists. So now we can see there is a more object support. Previously, only leads and contacts were supported. Now there is account object support, and also there are other objects that can be supported now. Also, as I told you, you can look up those DMOs within your org. That means if you have a data cloud DMO and if you have a core object within platform, you can relate those two via relationship. And I think this is a great feature because think of all the big data use cases where you're storing all the engagement data, which can be in like billions of rows of data, right? And which you cannot use platform for, or earlier you couldn't use platform for. Now you can easily sort of use Data Cloud to use all those engagements within Data Cloud and then relate to the core objects within Salesforce CRM. So, these type of features are bringing these two platforms together and also making our platform future-proof. That means, you can think of, any requirements and they will definitely fit into either Data Cloud or core platform. So that's what I'm excited about.
Awesome. Cool. And I'm pretty sure in the blog post they will publish, I think around May 7th, they will have a list of all those great exciting changes around Data Cloud.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I want to move on to the next topic. And you mentioned that already Einstein 1 platform AI is also really important to us and our developer audience. And we had some recent releases and some changes coming in summer. What are those?
Yeah. So first big change that I saw was Einstein Copilot. This provides the conversational AI capability to your Salesforce apps, as we know. So this has gone GA now. So that means our customers have good access to support. So I'm really excited for that. Now with the Copilot, Einstein Copilot, for developers, what is interesting is, we have these standard actions, but you as a developer can extend and build actions for your business use cases using Apex, Flows, or prompt templates, right? So that's great for you. Also in this release, I saw that we have improved analytics on it. So now you can you can measure the adoption and usability of this Einstein Copilot. So I'm really excited for Einstein Copilot going GA. That means our developers will get proper GA support for this product.
And actually, small note, if you are visiting a user group, for example, we're currently conducting a lot of hands-on activities with user groups around the globe. So please check in with your community group leader if they're already on the list. I think that's something that's also really key for this new technology. It's not only we bring a GA, we also bring it to you so that you can experience directly hands-on, right? Which I think is also really amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to some of these workshops. Also, I would like to bring up Prompt Builder. We know that Prompt Builder is a big part of this whole Einstein 1 Studio because it lets you version your prompts, use these prompts within your application and add those large language model capabilities to your application, right? Making it smarter. So Prompt Builder is getting a very important feature that I think it's worth mentioning. So previously, the way you ground the prompts is using data from your objects using these merge field syntax that we had, or you could ground through Flows or Apex, right? A very interesting feature that I saw went, is going GA with this release is called record snapshots. So what these record snapshots will allow you to do is instead of grounding individual fields, right? you can say, okay, I want to ground my prompt with a record snapshot. So with this record snapshots, your prompts are automatically grounded with data available on the user's page layout at that time. So think about, Rene, that we used to like write a lot of merge fields. Like we used to like have a lot of these merge fields on our prompts before, right? It used to get lengthy too, right? When you used to ground them with that. I think this is a great feature where you can say that, okay, I want to ground with a record snapshot directly, and the platform automatically takes care of all the grounding and the field information for you automatically.
This sounds like really like a great feature, because when, and I remember this when building my first prompt, I was like, okay, cool. Now I have to think about an additional area as my custom objects enhance and change for specific users, right? Or for the different profiles and permissions that we have also to maintain the prompt. So I think really snapshots, as you described them, really solve this gap that I have to not maintain even more, but actually it gets automatically, right? Which I think is very, very key.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to remind that these Einstein 1 features, or Einstein, you know, Studio, Einstein 1 Studio, right, which comprises of all these tools, these get updates every month, you know, unlike our other products where we release, you know, based on the release cycle. These gets every month. So keep an eye on that monthly release notes, because there will be features that's going to be shipping every month.
That's a very good call out, because that is a change compared to the three seasonal releases, that our Einstein features as well as Data Cloud features are getting now really monthly updates, right? They're just getting better every month. So you just don't have to wait for the next season, but also you have now to keep track of what's coming, that you can really adapt to the new changes. Very cool. Now, we talk about all the things, Data Cloud, Einstein, but there's also a lot around core platform happening. So what are your highlights there, Mo?
Yeah, there is, again, a lot of enhancements that are happening. The blog will have a lot of details around that. I would say there are a lot of quality of life improvement features that I like to call it out for Salesforce developers, especially Apex developers. One of the features that I would like to highlight here is Apex Cursors. I think this is one of my favorite features this release. I'm really excited about Apex Cursors, because, you know, previously we had this batch Apex and queueable Apex. Each of them had its own pros and cons. Like, for example, batch Apex, unlike queueable, we couldn't like chain them, sort of, you know. Queuables were like, you know, you had to write your own implementation if you had to use it for a high, large data volume kind of processing job. Apex Cursors kind of sits in between these two. It's in beta feature, but it's going to solve a lot of these pain points that developers used to have for async processing large data volumes. So really excited. Look for that in the release notes. There are code examples for that. SQL is getting a lot of updates. Like, you know, you can now go 5 level deep when you're doing your SQL queries. Previously, it was only supported in REST APIs. So this is a great feature. That means, you know, developers who are working with these nested data structures, they'll find a lot of value in this feature, because they don't have to, like, you know, write a lot of code around it. It's, they can just put everything in a SQL. Yeah, there are a lot of features like that, small features like that. There are a lot of features and enhancements that are coming up. Like, for example, the exception emails now going to have the organization name, username, and my domain. I think this is something that our users were asking, because it used to have only org ID, and our developers used to figure it out by going to the org ID, and they had to, like, you know, do a lot of manual work here. So yeah, these are some of the features that I would say for Apex that have been enhanced. There are a lot more, and you know, just in the interest of the time, I would say go through the blog that we will have on our developer.salesforce.com, or you know, go through the release notes. And of course, we'll, you know, keep creating some content around some of these features. LWC, that is another one of my favorite areas. LWCs are continuously getting a lot of features, you know, from the past release itself. Some of them worth noting this release will be, one of the features that our developers have been asking for is, like, how can we make our LWC component available via the URL so that it's very easy to navigate? Previously, they had to use Aura component, wrap this LWC within that component, but now there's a native support within LWC using Lightning URL addressable. So I'm really liking how we have closed this gap between Aura and LWC now. I can rarely think of use cases now that requires Aura components. So there's a lot of additions like that, you know, even for developers using Lightning console apps, there are APIs, and also component versioning is also helping, you know. If you remember, Rene, that one of the things that we promised with LWC was we're going to take LWC very close to the native web components, like the web component standards that comes with the browser. So I finally see that happening with every release. So this release also, there are a lot of features and that make it very close to the native web component support.
Which I think is really great. And, you know, just looking back on what we heard last year at Dreamforce and also at TripAsidix last year and this year, that there are some gaps still existing in the Lightning Web Component framework compared to the previous Aura framework, because we take it really seriously to ensure that we have to close these gaps, right? And now we see from release to release the changes, the adaption that people finally can stop building with Aura just because we no longer have these gaps, which is really great. And, you know, there are many more things coming from True to the Core, like changes in setup and so forth. But I think that's really key that we are now delivering on the promise to make sure you have a gap, we're going to close it, right? I think that's super cool.
Absolutely.
Anything else you would like to point me to as someone who has to dive now into the Summer 24 release notes that I should pay attention to? I mean, I think it looks like that I have material for a couple of days to go through and track for.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of features again. You know, I would say if you're an ISV, look around the packaging enhancements because they look really awesome, because I think they're going to improve your DevOps pipeline because we are making them faster with, you know, async validations and a lot of features around performance enhancements. Also, I would say there are a lot of new features that we have been shipping for APIs. So take a look at that release notes. One of the things that I saw was like, okay, finally, now you will be able to use updates, you know. So I think we only had upserts before, you know, whenever we had to use external IDs, we had to use these upserts in our API. So I think now that problem is kind of solved because now you can update a record using the value of its external ID with the update only parameter in REST API. So I think that's good because no more you need to use upsert kind of thing. You can just use update. Yeah, and there are a lot of improvements that are happening for Salesforce Connect and external client apps, which I think is great. It's this new. Those of you who have not heard of external client apps, think of it as a modern version of connected apps. So those enhancements are here. So I think our release notes have a lot of information around that. Also, we have synthesized this with a helpful blog. So hopefully these features are going to improve your quality of life as you are building on Salesforce platform.
Awesome. Again, I think that sounds like a lot of material to digest and to work through. And when I just see the draft of the blog post that will go out really soon, it's just the small things sometimes that really matter to, as you said, bring quality of life to the developer. And this release is actually full of those to just make it easier for us as developers, which is pretty great. Mo, thank you very much for being my guest today on the podcast. And I would say in the next couple of days and weeks, if you're listening to this, listen to Mo, read his blog post, and just enjoy all the changes and new additions that we bring to you as a Salesforce developer.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Daniel.
If you're still here, thanks for listening, and head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also, check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.